Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for participating in the conference call today in regard to Ping An's 2015 first quarter results presentation. Mr. Jason Yao, Executive Director, Senior Vice President, and CFO, Chief Actuary of Ping An Group, and Ms. Annie Cui, Vice President of Ping An Bank, will attend today's call. This conference call will be conducted in English and will last for about 40-45 minutes. Today's conference call will directly go to the Q&A session. To allow more questions, please ask no more than two questions at a time. Please also indicate your name and the company name before asking your question. Now, please ask your question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the Q&A session. If you have any questions, please press star and then one on your telephone keypad, then wait for your name to be announced. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and then one. Thank you. The first question comes from Ronnie Chan. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Okay, please go ahead.
Yeah, please go ahead. We can hear you.
It's Charles at Stan Robinson calling out. Sorry, I wasn't sure whether the name had registered well. Thanks for taking the question, Jason. Could you, I don't know, you've probably done this already on the Chinese call, but could you talk a bit about new business margins in the first quarter, and maybe the drivers for what appears to be the highest growth rate you've reported in the last decade, perhaps, and how sustainable that growth might be? Thank you.
Sure. Thank you very, very much, Charles, for the question. I think, yes, we recorded very strong new business growth in the first quarter of over 50%. I think the main driver are two factors. The first is it was a strong growth in number of agents. As you may be aware, the total number of agents increased to close to 700,000, almost 10% more from last year, and probably more than 10% compared to the same period in 2004 first quarter. So basically, we had a much larger agency base initially. And also second, the overall the New Year campaign has been quite successful. So the overall productivity on product and the number of agents has been combined those two factors, we had a very strong growth in the first quarter. And I also explained why the number of agents has been grown quite strongly in the first quarter already compared to previous years. Where previous years, we usually increase number of agents by large number in the second half. But I think this year, the overall, even in the last year, the overall, the agency channel has been growing quite healthy. So back in the later part of last year, before the licenses and the branches, we have been prepared well to prepare for this year. We had a very strong base in 2004, but at the same time, we had a very good preparation for the growth in 2015. So actually, a lot of branches and even the life company has been prepared quite well to grow the number of agents. So that showed up even in the first quarter, the number of agents has been growing quite strong. And second is the, we have been deploying training and relatively the product itself has been selling has been quite strong. So overall, I think the product mix itself has been also fairly stable than as in the past years. As you can see, the overall appearance, the new business margin and FYG growth has been fairly in line, So we still seem to be, even though with a strong growth in the first quarter in terms of FYG, the margin itself should be fairly, fairly safe. But of course, 50% growth, if you want to sustain for the whole year, still has a lot of question marks, but we are quite confident we should be able to achieve a quite good and strong new business growth for the whole year in 2015.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Patricia, CLSA. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Jason. This is Patricia again. I have a question about your internet finance strategy. You have talked a lot about this strategy in your past and result, the past two results. And do you have a target? Like how big do you think the business can grow to in the next 2 years? And my second question is also around this area. It's about Lufax, about the institutional platform. Because Chinese banks, they are all very actively doing ABS. And what are the, how do you think the competitive position of LFAX is? Because whether a Chinese bank would do it via LFAX value versus do it maybe in the traditional the bond market. And then lastly, it's on Lufax. How much do you actually earn in Lufax? I'm a bit confused because in your last annual result, you mentioned that your voting right in the company came down to 49.99%. I'm curious because we use the word voting right. Does it mean that in terms of equity interest, it's something else? And yeah, so thank you very much.
In terms of internet finance business, actually, we have several initiatives, and Lufax is one of them, which is currently it has been attracted a lot of attention, and to some extent it's on a healthy development track. But of course, we have other businesses which we mentioned, like the Wani Tong, Pinan Hao, Chia Pinan Hao Fund, and our health platform, etc. So. But of course, our internet financing strategy has been focused on really some of the vertical models which we said before around health, around asset management, around housing, and around audit. So these are the four or five areas which we have been concentrating. Of course, various business, they have different development stages, which as mentioned, Lufax has been a bit, has sort of previous history. The other business has been some just began 1 or 2 years ago. So, but of course, this is an overall integrated strategy for Ping An because, as I said before previously, Ping An had three core pillars: insurance, banking, and asset management. But of course, with recent the technology trend and also internet finance, which led into the financial business, currently we have two big blocks. Block of business. One is the core financing business, the other is internet finance. And basically we want to, on the internet finance side, we want to accumulate a huge number of users and then gradually migrate those users to become our financial customers. But of course, we still, we already achieved some results, which some of the numbers we have shown out of 1 billion internet users from those internet companies around more than 40% which hold financial products already. But of course, we still have a long way to go. We'd like to increase the base of 1 billion users to maybe 2 to 3 billion. At the same time, more and more, 5% of those users will hold buy our financial products. Okay. This is overall the relative strategy for the internet financial. In particular on the Lufax side, Lufax is a fairly unique platform. Of course, it's still facing competition from from other market players. Lufax itself has to be an exchange and an information platform. But of course, just you mentioned, Lufax has several product lines, like one is P2P, which is quite brought a lot of attention. But at the same time, we also have B2C business, where a financial institution, they generate assets and they sell to individual customers. And of course, you mentioned the ETF securitized product is just one of the categories which you can sell or exchange on the Lufax platform. So just you mentioned the banks, we shouldn't, Lufax is not really a direct competition with banks. Actually, Lufax is a platform which will work with various commercial banks, and those banks can generate assets, and Lufax as a platform, we can sell those assets either to institutional investors or retail investors. So basically, going forward, and Lufax on the platform, we have P2P business, P2C products, we have P2C, F2C, F2C financial institution to individual customers, and F2F, etc. So basically, it is positioned as a exchange and open platform. So that is the overall strategy, the current strategy for Lufax. Then on the shareholding structure side, yeah, we currently own 49.9% of Lufax.
As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and then one. Thank you. The next question comes from Minda Bertini. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello. I have two questions. Thank you for the opportunity to ask them. So number one is for Jason. I'm looking at your, very strong new business growth in Q1, 51%. But I'm struggling, and please do kind of forgive me my ignorance. I'm struggling to reconcile with your gross written premium, which grow by 14%. So this, if I add back the recurring premium, this seems to suggest that your recurring premium or renewal premium only grow by like 1%, 2%. And, you have been growing the renewal premium at about 12%, 13% in the last, 2 years. So I'm just wondering whether you can help me reconcile these. And the second question is regarding Ping An Bank. I have the special mention on by Q1 going up to special mention and going up to over 4%, and your loan in arrears also going up very high. I'm just wondering, from accounting point of view, whether there's a cap, either from regulatory or from internal policy point of view, there's a cap on either special mention or the loan arrears before you put them into NPL. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the question. You asked about yes, our special mention loan the rate is now 4.15%. You asked whether there's a cap from the regulator. The answer is no, there's no cap. But this is one thing all the banks in China, we are very carefully watching this. And I would like to address your concern about the quality of the loan in two aspects. Number one is that we all know that, with the slowing down of the GDP to about 7, and also the China economy market going into a new law, and some of the major industries, they're going through their restructuring. In particular, difficult for the small SME business. So we are facing a macro economy downturn. and that will make the overall special mention plus the NPL rate high in China. That's the fact. And the second perspective from this is, we all know that with the economical reform in China, it's a very short time, only for over 30 years. So compared to the mature market, we are still in our very young age. But also with this in mind, the regulators, they are very stringent. Since I came from the Hong Kong financial industry over 20 years before I joined Ping An, I will say that the CBRC here in China, they are very stringent, and the whole aim is to make sure it's very stable, since we all know that the financial stability is very important for a big country like China. So with this, even though we are seeing a big a rise in the first quarter, but I do believe with the strict regulator, watching everybody doing the right thing, I don't think it's a big issue. And the third point to answer the overall, if we compare our NPL rate, even with the special mention loan rate, with the mature market, by adding also, there's a number published at the end of 2014 by the CBRC. The overall industry is NPL loan is 1.25. The overall, the industry special mention loan is 3.11. So adding them together is about 4%. If you compare this with the other mature market like India, India is also about 4. So in a way we are rising, but I would say before we are very low. So this might give everyone some uncomfort. But if we compare with the mature market, we are not that bad. So coming back to the Ping An, we are kind of like in the middle of the industry, and we are also doing some restructuring of our asset business. Like we are, we will put more loan quota into the consumer and also the SME, and which should be more stabilized. So with this, we do believe overall we are going to face a difficult year, but it will be under good control. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And just my question to Jason on the new business versus the total premium growth, please.
Yeah, I just did some calculations, especially on the agency side, which I see the new business growth is 15.9%. The total agency business growth is 16.5%.
Jason, can you clarify this shadow accounting adjustment? Am I right in thinking that relates to policyholder funds and not shareholder funds? Could you just elaborate on what that movement is, please? Thanks.
Sure. Yeah, I had a question before on the shadow accounting. Yeah, basically, shadow accounting adjustment is related to life insurance business part to relate to the universal life and the participation business, because on the part of universal life, or if you have unrealized gains, some of them are not supposed to belong to the shareholders, and actually they belong to the policyholders. So if you do have a positive gain, then on the shadow accounting side, on the P&L, the other comprehensive income, it is actually a negative number. That's why you see a 44 billion number on this. So as you can see, in the same period in 2014, the first quarter, that number is a positive, more positive number, which basically means you have unrealized loss. That's why you have a positive number. But then, of course, the number, if you look at the first quarter, you know, of course, the difference on the shadow accounting is quite big. But then if you look at the whole year number in 2014, actually, the shadow accounting adjustment is another, can be quite a big, over 7 billion adjustment, a minus 7 billion adjustment as well.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and then one. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and then one. Thank you. The next question comes from King, JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for this session. So I actually have the two questions. One is about the PNC and the other is the regulatory framework. So if I look at the PNC, the premium growth, the overall the premium growth looks much stronger compared to the industry growth. So I just want to know what was the major driver for the growth, whether this is from the better commission or this is from the general underwriting policy. And next question is about the regulatory framework. So the company is one of few the insurance company under the category of GSII. So as far as I know, the GSII, the regulatory update is quite the significant, especially this year. So could you please share us your update on this regulatory filing? Thank you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. First question is on the P&C side. We had quite a strong growth, 20%, and it's I think it should be higher than the overall industry average and some of our big competitors. I think we had achieved that above market growth, not just in 2015 first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
We have been consistently exceeded the market growth in the past maybe 5, 3, 4 years, which we have been gradually gaining market share. So it's just not a one single reason whether you have more losing underwriting policy, etc. I think this is built on our distribution capacity. We have a very strong cross-selling, which one channel is the agency side, right? Agency side. The second is we are the biggest panel market on the auto side, which we have established a quite strong competitive advantage in the past 3-5 years. And the third is also we had a very good branding on product and service itself. So basically, I think that's a combination of those. And the fourth is actually the management, the anticipation of the market trend. If you foresee, for example, the underwriting side of the cycle, you know, the P&C business has underwriting cycles. So you to some extent, like doing investment, if you see the stock market is going to go up, you invest more, right? That's why you have more competitive sales campaign and marketing campaign, and at the same time you gain more business. So on that aspect, I think we also to some extent are doing better than the market, the industry average. Where some of the competitors, they may be seeing the market trend is different. And in a bad market, they chase the market share and then suffer loss. And when the market turns, they sort of hold back. But we have been sort of quite a bit accurate on that forecast of the underwriting trend. So I think that is another reason besides your distribution capacity. besides your brand and service capability.
But that's very clear. Thank you.
And then the second question on the GFI, of course, it's a very good question. Yeah. Ping An is one of the nine GFSI companies worldwide, and we are the only one from Asia. So this project we have been working quite closely with the international regulators like IAI and also with local regulators, CRP. So we have established quite a good relationship with the regulator. At the same time, we also internally strengthen our management process and capability. And of course, the outstanding, it's quite important, is also on the capital side, which the current, I think by the end of this year, there will be some guidelines, especially on what we call the HLA, stands for higher loss absorption, additional capital for those DCs. But currently, we are still working with the 9 DCs has been working closely with the II. So probably by the end of this year, there will be more clear guidelines and we can know what will be the exact impact on those 9 companies.
Sorry. Yeah, that's very clear. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and then one. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and then one. Thank you. The next question comes from Charles Lonnie Robson. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jason. You know, if we look back over the last decade or so, Ping An's new business value growth has been reasonably well correlated to the performance of the stock market. And I guess this is inevitable given the strong bias towards savings products in the insurance space in China. I know you've been working quite hard to increase the protection component in your insurance products. Could you, I think you disclosed at the year-end number that the protection component had risen to, if I'm not wrong, about 40%. Could you just share with us your initiatives in this regard? And I imagine the goal is to make your new business value much less susceptible to swings in the stock market. Thank you.
Sorry, what's the question?
The question is, what have you done and what will you continue to do to increase the protection component in your insurance products? As you know, Prudential, for example, has a very high health and protection component to its products in some emerging markets like Indonesia. And that means they get much higher margin. And it also means, or should mean, that it's much less volatile with regard to performance of the stock market. And so you kind of de-risk your business and grow, long duration policies which are high value and not volatile. Could you share with us what you've been doing in this regard on the product side and how you have been able to increase the protection component of your policy sold?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, I think the Ping An strategy in the past decades, the one observation is quite clear is we had a very strong agency channel. Where some market as the other strong channel is bank insurance. And on the bank insurance side, it's just pure low margin, relatively short term, 5 years. Nowadays, some of the companies I just mentioned sell 1 or 2 year type of product. But as you can see, Ping An has not been very active in that aspect. We have been focusing on the agency side. But of course, on the agency side, most of the products I think there's a different understanding of protection and saving. I think most life insurance products, apart from term insurance, which is pure protection, a whole of life, there's both elements of saving and protection. But we are in the nature, like term pure protection life insurance products, so that it's not as good as in Western countries, maybe due to the culture, etc. But of course, there are also, like as you mentioned, like health products, strategies, critical illness products, but also those products also have saving elements. So just basically a combination of savings and protection. So I think in the past, we on the agency side, I think more than the whole of life product, more than 50-60% is what we sold out more with savings and protection type product. As you can see, our agency side margin about 40%. So pure savings products is basically which currently in the market, in China market, bank insurance. That's why we have been shy away from that market. But of course, we would like to develop a different bank insurance model, which we have been working with our Ping An Bank currently. So I think, but of course, the other point you mentioned is the correlation with the equity market. Of course, as you can see, all the insurance company currently in China, to some extent, the long-term duration bond is still relatively not sufficient in China. Our asset duration match is still mismatched. Our liability duration is longer than our assets. At the same time, we still have 10-15%, depending on the market condition, allocated to the stock market. To some extent, that volatility is still there. It's still there, even in the Western countries. You still have exposed to some of the equity market. But I think that we just have to live with that. But at the same time, we do have to lengthen our asset duration to some extent to reduce the mismatch risk. But in the near term, probably still cannot eliminate the asset duration mismatch risk.
Okay, one final question.
As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and then one. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and then one. Thank you.
It seems no more questions. Okay. Let's thank Mr. Jason Yao and Ms. Henry Choi for making very good presentations and answer all the questions. And thank you very much for coming to today's telephone conference. So I wish you have a very good, nice weekend. Bye-bye.